Well, thank you for talking to us here in New Zealand. On the plane over, you said you've always wanted to come to this country. I know we're only kind of third day in, but how have you found it so far?
It's been fantastic, more than I could have ever hoped for. As I said, it is beautiful, and the Governor General was the one that invited me this time last year at Monte Cassino, and I'm just finally glad to have got here. I can't believe it's taken me 30-odd years.
We've already had sort of quite a variety. Wellington was crazy, lots and lots of crowds, and then to come somewhere like Stewart Island that's so beautiful, so relaxed. I was saying it was really nice to see you being able to walk around, see how locals live. You didn't eat the oyster yesterday. I had to do that instead. But you did go to the pub quiz. How is it for you being able to come somewhere that's so low-key? Is that quite rare for you?
So on a tour like this, I suppose it is very rare. The intention always was to try and get to every single corner of New Zealand and meet as many different tribes, backgrounds and people as New Zealand has to offer. So to come here, where according to a lot of the Stewart Island population, they are slightly left out of everything. I can see why, because they are slightly out of the way. But it was just a really nice opportunity to come down here and see people that live the very simple life and away from all the chaos of cities and stuff like that. So I don't know how we managed to do quite so well in the quiz, but it was certainly a fantastic atmosphere inside there, and the landlady was British, so it was just like being at home.
Obviously, coming here comes off the back of the time that you've been spending in Australia. We've seen the pictures of you doing your training over there. You seem to be in your element. Tell us, what were the highlights for you of that trip?
The highlights of Australia. Wow. The first 2 weeks and the last 2 weeks were very, very different. Darwin is an incredibly hot place, and I mentioned that to a lot of Australians. And then the second part was just beautiful. I mean, being down on Perth on the coast there, the SASR have got a very good deal there. And the Commando Regiment as well in Sydney was also fantastic. But the whole package was so well put together. And from my point of view, I'm just hugely grateful to have the opportunity. I mean, it's, you know, boys with toys. It's everything that I joined the army for, I suppose, and some. To be sliding out of a helicopter on a rope, to be training and running around with highly trained people, both, you know, here and within the UK, is wonderful. So, you know, I can't thank the ADF enough for putting up with me and organising a pretty intense programme, of which I was sort of like a zombie at the end of it. But when it's really, really fun stuff, you don't care how tired you are, you just keep pushing on. So I can't say there was a highlight. It was all amazing.
But you did, the pictures that we've seen, you seem to be really, really enjoying yourself. But we have to put that in context with the fact that in June, of course, you're leaving the armed forces. Yeah. Tell us, how difficult a decision was that to make? And why do you think this is the right time to do that?
I think, as I said before, it is a crossroads. It's the same. I'm in the same position now as most people in my year group or my rank would be in. Because I'm a non-grad, I'm slightly behind everybody else. And most of the guys that I joined with at the time have already left for numerous reasons. But it is a case of, right, if we move on, then more responsibilities come. And I suppose with wanting to take on slightly more of this role, I don't really feel as though I would be in a right position to take on the careers of more soldiers and take on the responsibility of, you know, continuing to fly, for instance. So it is a balance, and I've tried to get the balance going, get it right over the last sort of 6 or 7 months to a year before I finished, and it was getting hard. And as I said, I'm on a crossroads.
And maybe you're heading into more of a desk-bound role as well, presumably, as you head through the army ranks. That's what you could have been facing.
Inevitably, that's what happens. I mean, a lot of guys my age, as I said, when they get to captain, they leave. And that is partly because, I suppose, a lot of guys join for the outside, for the excitement of running around in the bush with the soldiers. And then there is a point where you have to, you know, take the next step and go to a desk and do staff college and then become a major and so on. But with all that comes responsibilities and a lot of your time, of which, if I'm doing this kind of stuff, it doesn't work, and it doesn't sit comfortable with me, knowing that I'm off doing something while others are still at work looking after my soldiers.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to cover for me. That was never going to work.
But you do still want to balance doing stuff like this with something else.
Yes.
You talked about that crossroads. Mm. Are you any clearer to working out which path you're going to take? What's on the shortlist?
There's a few things on the shortlist, but I don't want to speculate because I know what people are like. but as long as people back home and you know whoever sort of has a vote, I suppose, as long as they know that they can trust me in making the right decision, and that whatever it is, hopefully it will be something that means I can still give something back, I suppose. Mm-hmm. This part of the role is fantastic, but I and William, both of us, we feel as though we need to have a wage as well to work within normal people, to keep us sane, to keep us ticking along, and also surely in the future, from our point of view, in the future, if we want to make a big contribution or a valid contribution and taken seriously, then we need to work alongside other people.
Does that feel like a big pressure to you, though, to make the right decision going forward?
Of course it is. Yeah.
Presumably don't want that tag of a party prince.
No, I've never wanted that. But as I said, you know, if people can genuinely trust that I'm going to make the right decision, and that whatever it is, hopefully I'll make them proud and make other people proud, then so be it. I've got to a stage now in my life when I'm very happy that I've done 10 years in the services. There is part of me, of course, especially post-Australia, that I would love to carry on doing that. But there needs to come a decision of more responsibilities in this role. Therefore, I find something that will have an even balance.
Looking at your wider family, of course, it's only a week ago since we welcomed into the world Princess Charlotte. I was there outside the Lindo Wing. Did you manage to see any of the coverage of your brother and sister-in-law and your little niece coming out of hospital?
No, I didn't see any coverage at all, actually. He sent me two photos, one before everybody else, which was nice, and then another one with her back with George at home. So that's, you know, as I said, I'm so looking forward to seeing her, to meeting her and to holding her. She was a little bit late, hence I missed her, so she'll have to work on that. But apart from that, no, it's fantastic news for both of them, so I'm thrilled.
One thing I've noticed is you are really, really good with kids in Wellington. You're right in there having a chat with a little girl.
For you,
seeing your brother settle down, does that put, not pressure, but does it make you think, actually, I'd quite like to settle down, have kids?
But isn't that the same for everybody? You know, there comes times when you think, right, now's the time to settle down, and or now's not, whatever the way it is. But I don't think you can force these things. It's, you know, it'll happen when it's going to happen. Of course, I'd love to have kids right now, but yeah, there's a process that one has to go through. And, you know, tours like this is great fun. Hopefully I'm doing all right by myself. It would be great to have someone else next to me to share the pressure. But, you know, time will come. Whatever happens, happens, I guess.
Thank you very much. We've got a few days ahead of us to go. Plenty more of New Zealand to see. So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. How's that oyster sitting?
Don't ask.
Okay.